Well, I wanted to begin the message by giving you some interesting facts about the Bible, about the Word of God. And you probably know some of these already, but it's kind of interesting to reference them. You know, about 40 men were engaged in the writing of the Bible during a period of about 1,600 years, and that is from 1,500 B.C. to about A.D. 100. And you don't have to write all this down, but just think about this for a moment. The Bible contains 3,566,480 letters forming words. It has 773,746 words. It has 31,102 verses. It has 1,189 chapters. And it has 66 books. The Old Testament has 39 books and the New Testament 27 books. In point of length, the average word of the Bible contains fewer than 5 letters, which I thought was interesting. And the word Lord, which is 4 letters, occurs 1,853 times in the Bible. And the book of Esther contains 10 chapters, but neither the word Lord nor God is found in the book of Esther. The middle chapter of the Bible is also the shortest chapter, and it is Psalm 117, and it contains only 2 verses. The shortest verse in the Old Testament is 1 Chronicles 125, and it just lists 3 names in that verse. And the longest is Esther 8, chapter 8, verse 9, and it contains 90 words. It's the longest verse in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the shortest verses are John 11:35, which just says Jesus wept, and also 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says rejoice always. And the longest word in the Bible is found in Isaiah 8, in verse 1. And let's turn there for fun. Isaiah 8, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll. Now, he would need a large scroll to write this name down, and write on it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalah Hashbaz. And that is the longest word in the Bible. Now, all the letters of the alphabet except J are in Ezra 7:21. Let's turn there. It's not too far away. Ezra 7, verse 21. Ezra chapter 7, verse 21. And I, even I, Artaxerxes, the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently. All the letters of the alphabet are found in that verse except the letter J. The 19th chapter of 2 Kings and the 37th chapter of Isaiah are nearly identical. The Bible holds the distinction of being the first large production printed book. It was first printed with movable type in 1456 by Johann Gutenberg, and it was in the Latin language. The King James Version of the Bible was first published in 1611, and we just had the 400th anniversary, not too long ago, of the King James Version. The first Bible printed in this country was in the Indian language in 1663, and this translation was made and published by John Eliot, the so-called Apostle to the Indians. And this is the earliest example of the whole Bible translated and printed in a new language for the purpose of evangelization. And the first English Bible printed in this country was in 1782. And it's not generally known, but Noel Webster, author of the famous Webster's Dictionary and the Blueback Speller, made a translation of the Bible, which was published in 1883. The revised version of the whole Bible was issued in 1885, and the American Standard Edition was published in 1901. The Bible is the most translated book in the world. It has been translated into more different languages and dialects than any other book. And the Bible continues to be the bestseller in the world. It is the only book that reveals the origin, mission, and destiny of man. We'll talk some more about that in just a few minutes. And there may be many conflicts between the Bible and the theories of some scientists, or between the facts of science and the theories of some Bible scholars. But there is no conflict between the Bible and the facts of science. And we won't talk about that today, but I think all of us know that there are no inherent conflicts. Well, brethren, these things that we just read are interesting facts. But what the Bible is and teaches is even more important and interesting. And today we're going to look into the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and examine elements of how this book is so amazing and so important. And appropriately, we'll use the Bible itself to show us these elements. And these elements are all important, and we need to be reminded of them. So the title of this message is Part 1, The Word of God Is... I was going to say the Word of God is Part 1, but then you'd think the Word of God is Part 1, so it'd be confusing. I started digging into this, and I needed to break it into two pieces to really do it justice. So we'll do five of the elements. There are nine elements, and we'll do five of them today. So let's begin with the first element. The Word of God is divinely inspired. Divinely inspired. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Very familiar scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll just read part of this verse right now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that makes this book unlike any other book. It has been inspired by Almighty God. And it contains critical information about the past, about the future, and the present. It reveals why things are the way they are in this world. And it reveals the purpose behind all of it. It reveals how man came to be and the amazing purpose for man's existence and the incredible potential of all human beings. The potential for all human beings throughout time. It reveals God's way and the blessings of that way, as well as the result of not following that way. It serves as a warning to us. We'll talk some more about it next time. It tells us how we are to live. It truly is an incredible book, and we should never, ever take it for granted. How incredible this book is. It is inspired by Almighty God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, if we'll turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For prophecy, which is a third of the scripture in the Word of God, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy of Scripture or any part of the Scripture came by the will of man, but by God as they were moved by God's Holy Spirit. God wrote the Bible, the Word of God, for all of us. For all mankind throughout history and into the future. It is the revealed message of God to us. And that's why this book is so consistent and non-contradictory, even though it was written by so many different men over this long period of 1,600 years. No other book can make this claim or anywhere near it, because it was divinely inspired as God worked through His Holy Spirit. And it reveals and teaches us the very deep things of life and the deep things of the future. Don't ever take this book for granted, brethren. It is the Word of God. Which brings us to the next element. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. We'll spend just a little bit more time on this element. But let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read verses 4 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. These are things, brethren, that we need to be reminded of and to think about at times, because of something that's coming that we'll talk about later. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience and tribulations and needs and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and fastings. And they did suffer tremendously, brethren, in those times, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, and by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. The apostles taught the word of truth, the true gospel that they had heard from Jesus Christ, as well as from the Holy Scriptures as they came to understand them. And some of what they were inspired to say and write became part of the Scriptures later. And it was and is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The truth about man's purpose and potential. And the truth about God's coming kingdom to this earth. And the truth about how to worship and honor God. And the truth about how we are to live and to grow. The Word of God is truth. Notice the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 17 and verse 14. John chapter 17 and verse 14. John chapter 17 and verse 14, and we'll read through verse 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Brethren, the word is truth, and we are sanctified or set apart by it. And the understanding of the truth of God, as revealed in His holy word, changes our lives and sets us apart from the world. It is why we are here today. The world does not understand about the Sabbath. But it's why we are here, because we understand the truth. And it's why we believe and practice what we do as true Christians, which is far different than what the world does and practices. And we are not of this world, because the truth has separated us from the world. And that truth is from the Word of God, the Holy Bible. But notice in 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 7. It's talking about something, brethren, that has happened before, and it's going to happen again. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." God is restraining the evil one, but eventually he will remove at least some of that restraint. And then the lawless one will be revealed. This will be in the end times. "Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Brethren, that is coming. Signs and lying wonders. "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive" what? "The love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So I ask, brethren, you and myself, do we truly love the truth? Because the time is coming when we will be tested, and it will reveal if we truly love the truth, if you and I truly love the truth. Because there's a great lie and a powerful deception that is coming to the earth. And God tells us that we must love the truth if we are to resist it. This deception is going to be so great and compelling, with lying signs and wonders, that even some of the elect could be pulled away. So I ask, do you love the truth? I ask myself as well. Now, if we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and read the rest of that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, as we read earlier, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the Word of God, brethren, will correct us, and it will instruct us and ground us in doctrine and in truth, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, and thoroughly equipped to stay on track and to resist the pull away from that track and the pull of deception. We're going to talk more about this in the next message as well. The Bible is profitable to us. So I ask, are you using the Bible yourself? Is it important to read the Bible and study it daily so that it can correct us and instruct us and help us to be thoroughly grounded and established in the truth? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, just a little bit further into 2 Timothy here, and this is chapter 4 and verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, that they will heap up for themselves teachers." This happened in the past, but But it's going to happen in a much greater way as the end times progress. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, Timothy, and fulfill your ministry. As Paul spoke to Timothy, but he speaks also, and God speaks to us as well, to be watchful in all things, because a turning away from the truth and a deception, brethren, is coming to this earth like has never been seen. We are to be watchful, as we've already looked in other messages. We're being watchful of what is going on around us and watchful of our own spiritual condition. So get your nose in the Bible now and allow God to use it to equip you for the future and what is coming. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Which brings us to the next element. The Word of God is the way by which we were called. It is the way by which we were called. In James chapter 1 and verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He brought us forth by the word of truth. God brought us forth, brethren, by opening our minds to understand the truth as he reveals it in his word, the Bible. And the understanding of his word and the truth is amazing, and it is truly priceless. It is a miracle in your life and mine to have the understanding to read this book and to understand what it truly says. And that changes the trajectory of our lives. And it's changed and should be changing what and who we are. Because now we are the sons of God, which God tells us in the Word. If the Spirit is within us, His Spirit, we are the sons of God. And our mind has been opened to understand the Word of God, the Bible. To understand these deep spiritual principles and God's law. And all this, brethren, God's Spirit and the understanding has opened up the potential for divine eternal life with God, our Father. God has brought us forth by opening our mind to understand the truth in His Word. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul talks some more about this, about how God establishes us. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 through 17, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has delivered our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith comes from God. By the hearing of the Word of God, as you hear it preached, and as you read it with your mind opened by God's Spirit, and your faith is established. But notice in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, there's another element that comes into this. As Paul talks to or writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1, chapter 1 and verse 13. He writes, in Him, in God, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, God opens our mind to understand the truth. And then we come to truly believe and to trust God, to trust Him that what He is saying will happen and that it is true. There is an element of trust involved. You must believe what God is saying, and it must become part of you. The truth must become part of you, and you must come to love the truth and be thoroughly grounded in it. You know, trusting God is an important element of believing what He says. And what He says is truly incredible, especially concerning the future. Especially concerning the future. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, if you'll turn there next, the Apostle Paul talks and writes to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And he talks about something, brethren, about the future. It ties into our love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Let's start in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. He writes, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the obtaining of the very glory of Jesus Christ as a divine member of God's family. God called you and opened your mind to understand the gospel and to believe in the truth. And that is the hope within us, brethren, that the Word of God points us toward for the future, to be in God's family, and to be sharing God's glory. Continuing here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, By His grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Hold fast to what you've been taught. It will comfort you and console you as you have this hope inside of you for the future. And it will establish you to every good word and work. And finally, brethren, turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll read verse 97 through 104. This is a very familiar scripture. Oh, how I love your law, David writes. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts, because I obey what you have taught me. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep what? That I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. David proclaims how sweet the word of God is and how he had more understanding than the ancients. Because from ancient times, people have wondered, why? Why am I here? Why are things the way they are? What's the purpose of life? What happens after life? And all these religions were all developed, of course, with influence from Satan to try to explain it. But God reveals it to us, brethren, in his word. And David understood it, and he says, I have more understanding than the ancients because of his understanding that God had given to him and the faith that he had from God. So, brethren, I ask you and myself, how sweet are the words of God's word to you? And are you keeping your nose in the word of God on a continuing basis? Is it still sweet to you? And ask God to help you in this way and to appreciate every day the incredibly valuable understanding that God has given to you as he has opened up the Bible to you. And take advantage of that. Take advantage of the fact that the Bible is unlocked to you by God's grace, by his mercy and favor, and his loving kindness to you as he has called you as a first fruit. So let's consider the fourth element. The Word of God is a light to our path. It ties right into what we have just seen. Here in Psalm 119, and in verse 105, just continuing on. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, the word of God, the Bible, is a light to our path because it teaches us deep spiritual principles that lead to many blessings now and in the future. It's a light to illuminate the path as we are walking down the path of our life. And that light reveals pitfalls and traps and snares that are along the way. And if we can see them, we can avoid them. By the understanding of these spiritual principles in God's word, by the understanding of God's law, we can make the right decisions and avoid a whole lot of suffering and even failure in our life. And we can take the pathway that leads to God and leads to eternal life. You see, there is something else that the light of God's word gives to us. We can see major elements of the future, and that give us hope and security in God, and not security in ourselves or in anything in this world. We see, brethren, how it's all going to end. God's will be done on this earth. His family will be built. God will put down evil. And this world is going to be changed. We have hope and security in God, because he has given us this light to see and understand what he reveals to us in his word. And you know, this is going to become increasingly valuable in these end times as things progress, because it's going to be very, very difficult. And we will need that from God's word. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, if you'll turn there next with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul writes to the Ephesians something very interesting. I'll give you a moment to turn there, and I'll use that time to take a quick drink. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, Paul writes, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, because you have this light that God has given to you. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Again, a warning to not be spiritually asleep and to use the light that God has given to you that illuminates sin and all these traps and problems that can be on the path of our life. He says, awake and don't be asleep. Use the light and walk in the light. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, he talks some more about this to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, he writes, but you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We have a great responsibility, brethren, and a great opportunity. God has given us light in our life. His very Spirit and the understanding of His Word. Therefore, let's not be spiritually asleep, but let's watch what's going on around us and watch our own condition spiritually and be sober. We are to be awake and watchful as we walk in the light of God. Now notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which is part of the word of God, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of God, brethren, is a light that shines for us in the dark place until the day dawns and we are changed to divine sons of God at the return of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because there's a dawn coming for this whole world. When Jesus Christ returns, the whole world will have the light that we have. When all the deception and false religion and darkness that Satan and sin brings into this world will be dispelled, just like the rising sun dispels the darkness. That day is coming, brethren, and hopefully it's already come for you and for me, that we will walk in that light now until we are changed into our spiritual body. You know, brethren, Peter wrote these things to those he was addressing at that time. But those words in all of the Bible are written to every people now as well who have understanding, and all those who will have understanding when the true dawn comes across the entire earth and the second resurrection comes and they see the light as well. So this now leads us to the fifth element and the last element that we'll consider today. The Word of God is timeless. It is timeless. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God stands forever. And why? Why does it stand forever? Why is it not like the grass that eventually withers and dies? It's because the word of God contains eternal spiritual principles. It's because God does not change, fortunately for all of us. And that what God is doing and building will stand and endure. And it will happen. The will of God will be done. His purpose will be fulfilled. It will happen. The Word of God is timeless. It applies to all people at every time in history. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, this will be our last scripture, Matthew 24 and verse 35, let's read the words of Jesus Christ, who is coming back to this earth. And when he comes back, the dawn will come. Matthew 24, verse 35. He says, heaven and earth, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The word of God is not going to pass away. Brethren, the word of God is timeless. Because what it says applies to all people, regardless of where and when they lived, as I've already mentioned. And God the Father and Jesus Christ are unchanging in their power, in their love, in their righteousness, and in their wisdom. And the truth does not change. And the spiritual laws and principles do not change. And human nature throughout history has been the same and has not changed. God's word is timeless and applies to all people in all generations. So, brethren, now in conclusion for this first part, we've looked at five elements as to why the word of God is so amazing and critically important. It is the divinely inspired message to us and all who have been given understanding by God's Spirit. And eventually, all people who have ever lived will get that understanding as well when the dawn comes. And the Word of God is truth. And it reveals the past, present, and future. And it reveals critical spiritual principles and laws. And as we've already mentioned, it reveals what God is doing and what will certainly come to pass. And that future is more astounding than the imagination of the human mind. We've been given a glimpse of it, and it is truly fantastic. And we know why we are here. And we have this incredible hope for the future, that no matter what we're going through now and what we have to deal with, the future is so bright that all of it will pale into insignificance for us later. But we must hang on and endure. You know, God's word is the way that we were brought to understanding and established in the faith by reading and hearing the word of God preached to us as our mind was opened and we were brought to understanding as we came to believe and to trust what God has revealed to us by His Word. And His Word is a light to our path and shows us how we are to walk, and it illuminates our path so that we will not fall in the darkness. With God's help, brethren. And that path, that light reveals the path that we are to take to our future. And the very reason that we were called in God's will for each of us personally to be in His family. And finally, brethren, we saw that God's Word is timeless. And it's another one of the amazing things about God's Word. It does not get old. It's always relevant to those whose mind has been opened to understanding in every time and era. I hope you'll think about these things, brethren, today. Because there's something else. The Bible has always been under assault. And that assault to try to discount or discredit the Bible and God's Word is going to intensify in the coming months and years as Satan's time grows short. And what the Bible says is going to be attacked. And they're going to say increasingly that it is no longer relevant to a modern age. But the Bible, brethren, is relevant. It is timeless. And we need to take advantage of the time now to get our eyes onto God's Word and to truly know what this book says and allow God to equip us for the future. Next time we will examine four more elements of the Word of God. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.